Our last presenter is Isabel Griffin, and she earned her Master's of Public Health in Epidemiology from the University of Miami in 2014. She has worked as an epidemiologist in both bioterrorism and applied epidemiology unit at the Florida Department of Health in Miami-Dade County. Her current job responsibilities include surveillance of reportable diseases, investigation of emerging infectious diseases, and response to large-scale infectious disease outbreaks. She's currently obtaining a PhD in epidemiology at Florida International University. Let's welcome Isabel.
Good morning. I would like to take the time to acknowledge the co-authors on this presentation, Danielle Fernandez, who is here with us today, as well as Dr. Guoyan Zhang, who was unable to attend as he is still in Miami. So asthma is a chronic disease that affects the airways and the lungs. During an attack, airways are inflamed and it makes it difficult to breathe. So asthma is typically caused by asthma triggers, so such as tobacco smoke, dust mites, air pollution, as well as influenzas and even cold weather, so Alaska. Asthma can be managed by medication, so you have long-term, which is more of the day-to-day management, and then fast-acting. So that's in the event of an asthma attack, you take that type of medication and that should help you. So before I go into childhood asthma, which is what this talk will focus on, I wanted to share with you a little bit about how special Miami-Dade County is. So our population is about 2.6 million people. Of those, about 600,000 are young children under the age of 18. Another special thing about Miami is that our population, 65% is Hispanic. And then 1 in 5 individuals living in our county is considered living in poverty. So examining poverty among our children, actually our countywide average is about 27.4%. However, you can see that there are clustering in the northern parts as well as the southern parts of our county where 40 to 60% of children live in poverty. If you examine our Medicaid coverage among our children, the vast majority are covered. So comparing all of our children, about 47% are covered by Medicaid. When you stratify that based on age, so under 6% is about 54.3%, and then 6 to 17-year-olds is about 43.9%. So over the past couple years, we've kind of seen an increase in asthma-related ED visits. So since 2008, there were about 1,020 per 100,000 children, and then since 2014, it's been about 1,420 per 100,000 children. So as a result of this increase, we really wanted to look in to see, well, why are kids all of a sudden going to the emergency department for asthma? And so in order to examine this, we were exploring the relationship between demographic characteristics, socioeconomic and environmental risk factors, and the frequency of asthma-related ED use among children under the age of 18 in our county, specifically during 2014. So our data sources, we used a lot of data. Our data we obtained for 2014 was from the agency, the Florida Agency for Healthcare Admission, so ACA. ACA recently released a new data set in 2014 that had unique client IDs, which we actually ended up using to identify frequency of ED use. Our asthma-related ED visits were used according to the principal diagnosis code of 493 for the ICD-9, as well as our percentage of children living at poverty level, as well as educational attainment among our adult population over the age of 25. Was downloaded from the U.S. Census Bureau's American Community Five-Year Estimate Survey. And this was linked to our ED data via zip code. Our pollen counts were obtained from the Florida Center for Allergy and Asthma Care in 2014. And then our weekly influenza-like illness trends were obtained from our weekly reports at our county health department. And then we used SAS and ArcGIS to analyze our data. So our inclusion criteria for our study was any individual under the age of 18 years that went to the emergency department for an asthma-related visit during 2014 at least once. Our variables of interest included race, age group, gender, insurance coverage, language spoken at home, payment type, high school graduation in the population, poverty, pollen counts, as well as ILI ED visits. A child with 3 or more asthma-related ED visits was defined as a frequent user. We obtain this value from the literature. So our results, so this is among all of our children visiting the ED for an asthma-related visit. There were a total of 8,004 asthma-related visits in just 2014. And as you'll see from the figure, there was clear clustering, so that is actually the northern downtown part of Miami. When we examined rates of asthma among our non-Hispanic white, our non-Hispanic black, and Hispanic populations, we actually found that non-Hispanic black children were going to the ER more than other race ethnicities. And so, as I mentioned before, there was that clustering in downtown Miami. And so something that's very particular about downtown is it's kind of a rough area where there's a lot of older housing. And so we wanted to examine what the density was of the pre-1950 housing. So as you can see, there is, again, the clustering in downtown Miami. However, we do know that this is probably an underestimation of the total pre-1950 housing in our county because, again, when there's new construction, as there is in all of South Florida, this will actually dilute the number of that old pre-1950s housing. And so what ends up happening is that it's diluting those numbers, but that older housing is just getting older, and so that could be a potential risk factor for these children. And so we did examine the payment type. And so what was very surprising was that 83.9% of our children had visits covered by Medicaid. So that's extremely high. However, when race ethnicity was taken into account, there were no significant differences in type of Medicaid payment rates. However, among our non-Hispanic whites, non-Hispanic blacks, and Hispanics, self-payment rates were relatively the same at 3.5, 2.9, and 3.0, respectively. So when we examine the median cost of the visits by race ethnicity, our non-Hispanic white population was about $1,300, but it actually went up to about $1,600 for Hispanics. So when we examined the outcome of these asthma-related ED visits, we were rather surprised to find that 98% of these were actually discharged, which leads us to believe, well, maybe these visits were preventable, and they weren't severe enough to be hospitalized. And so we really wanted to examine temporality, seasonality, and pollen levels. So Miami's a little bit special in that we really don't have a winter. It's basically summer all year round. And so when we looked to see what peak visit times were, we noticed that children were going between 10 a.m. and 12 p.m. and 6 p.m. and 10 p.m., which makes sense. That's usually the time the primary care offices are closed for lunch. You can't get to any of the doctors. And also in the evenings. When we examined when the ED visits actually peaked, we noticed that there was a peak between September and December in 2014. And then when we actually looked at pollen count, so when our high pollen count occurs, that's when our ED visits are the lowest. And so when our increase happened in September, November, December, we actually saw a decrease in pollen counts. And so we're thinking, well, why is that not the case with what you see everywhere else in the United States? So we thought, well, maybe it has something to do with the flu. And so we actually ended up looking at our influenza report that we make weekly. And if you look at the top blue line there, that'll actually be our influenza visits or our influenza-like illness visits. So these are not confirmed cases, you know, PCR, rapid test of influenza. This is just children going to an ER because they have, you know, a cough or fever. And so we noticed that during the same time we were seeing a peak in asthma visits, this is the same time we were seeing a peak in ILI visits. So that brings up the whole point of which came first, the chicken or the egg, asthma or the flu. So when we wanted to look at the frequency of asthma-related visits, and that was what made this project a little bit special, because we were actually able to match with patient identifiers to see how many kids were going not only once, but going multiple times. And so we found that of those 8,004 visits, those actually represented about 3,372 children with an average of 2.6 visits per child. And so among these children, 39.2% were considered frequent ED users, meaning that they went to the ED at least three or more times. And so when we compared all of our male children that went to the ED for an asthma-related visit, 39.2% were considered our frequent ED users. And among all of our female children going to the ER for an asthma-related visit, 39.1% were considered frequent ED users. So again, there weren't really that many disparities between gender. However, when we examined the age group, so among all of our young kids, our 0 to 4-year-olds, 50.8% were considered frequent ED users. And then in our 5 to 17 population, 33.9% were considered frequent ED users. And that makes sense. You know, asthma is typically diagnosed during childhood, so a small child from the age of 0 to 4, maybe a little harder to get them to take the medication every day. So this would kind of be expected. And so when we examined our frequent ED use by race ethnicity, we found that our Hispanic population, our Hispanic children were more likely to go multiple times, which if you remember, it was our non-Hispanic black children that are going to the ED more, but it's the actual Hispanic children that are going multiple times. And so we were wondering, well, why is that the case? Why wouldn't we see the same exact pattern in the number of children going versus the number that are going multiple times? And so we thought, well, maybe it has something to do with the language barrier. So again, this graphic actually shows the percent of residents age 5 and older that speak a language other than English at home. And the red actually represents percentages of where it's 80 to 99.5%, which is incredible. So our countywide average was about 72.2%. And there's actually a 2004 study by Scott et al. That noted that Hispanic children may have a differential access to care because of the low availability of linguistically competent providers. Unfortunately, we're unable to evaluate this at this point, so we're not quite sure of what the linguistically competent provider incidence is in our county at this moment. And so we wanted to see whether or not asthma-related ED visits had anything to do with perhaps the parents' educational level. So in order to evaluate this, we examined among all of the adults that are over the age of 25 in a particular community where less than 35% of them graduated from high school. That's all of those children living in those communities. 38.1% of them were considered frequent ED users. And then in areas where more than 35% of them had high school graduation, 40.8% of them were considered frequent ED users. So we really didn't see maybe a lack of education there. And then when we examined by poverty, so again, in areas where there was very high poverty, we did see a lot of ED usage, so that would be the 42% on the left side. And then among areas where the percentage of poverty was greater than 30%, we saw frequent ED use of about 36.9%. And so again, this is a very intro perspective of our project. We would like to continue this and look at the data from 2015. Unfortunately, only 2014 data was available at this moment. 2015 is becoming available later this year, and so we'd like to continue and perhaps even see what the 2014 kids that are considered our frequent ED users, whether they continue to go to the ED in 2015. So again, future research is needed to examine the correlation between the frequency and pattern of asthma-related ED visits, adherence to asthma medication, and severity of symptoms. There were actually several studies between 2001 and 2012 that estimated that medication adherence in a real-world setting was about 20%. You can only imagine with a 4 or 3-year-old what that adherence is like. And so, again, all of this indicated to us that there is a need for a culturally competent countywide childhood asthma education initiative in order to educate families about the importance of asthma management. Because, again, asthma-related ED visits are 100% preventable. And so thank you for your time. And if you have any questions right now or in the future, you're more than welcome to reach out to me.
Hi. Hello. Great presentation. But I noticed you did not include any air pollution other than pollen. And I might suggest proximity to busy roads because your two peak times for ED departments also corresponds to a few hours after traffic. You have the heaviest traffic during the day.
Yes.
And diesel particulate emission can result in asthma, increased asthma hospitalizations, and increased influenza-related hospitalizations. So that's something you might want to...
That is a great point, and especially in those downtown Miami areas, that's where we see the majority of our traffic. I mean, to go 3 miles there will take you at least 45 minutes.
Hi, my name is Wendy Bruner. I'm an asthma epidemiologist for the state of Minnesota, and Vicki stole my thunder and took one of my questions about air quality, because we're always interested in that, but it was really neat to see pollen. I actually want to give a shout-out to our asthma and allergy work group, the CST Asthma and Allergy Work Group, who's working on pollen, actually, pollen data. So I'm excited to see it used. But I did have one question for you. Well, actually, I want to say this is a really great example of addressing asthma in a multifactorial way. When people ask me about disparities in asthma ED visits and hospitalizations, which are a pretty common and an indicator of the burden of asthma in a community. Mm-hmm. I always tell people I can't say that it's due to one thing. It's asthma is nothing if it's not multifactorial. So it was really nice to see all the different aspects that you looked at. The one question I had was, do you have any indicators of prevalence that give you kind of a sense of the underlying prevalence in different places, that are defining the population at risk from, you know, who are at risk for ED visits for asthma?
Absolutely. So unfortunately, as far as I know, we do not. So this ED visit data was actually groundbreaking to us because we could finally look at the number of children going for asthma. But as far as that denominator, we really don't have that.
Okay. Just curious. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So I saw that breakout about the source of pay.
Yes.
And given that Medicaid mm-hmm. is a majority payer, it begs the question of do you have any plan of looking into Medicaid claim files to see whether individuals are managing with their primary providers and then looking for external corporate such as PM 2.5 or 10, whatever, is necessary for further analysis?
No, that's a great question. So again, this is the very beginning stages of this for us. So we will be examining other data sources such as the Medicaid. But we were quite surprised to see how many children's visits are covered by Medicaid. So that would be a great data source to compare our data to. Oh, okay. We'll reach out to them. Thank you. Thank you.
If we have any other questions for our other speakers, we have some time. We have a couple of minutes. We're ahead of if you want to go to lunch, but we have our speakers. So I guess it's time for lunch. Thank you, everybody.